The election of Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States means big changes are coming to the policies put in place over 8 long years of the previous administration. Both domestic and foreign policies will be examined as to their effectiveness and value to the United States. Of utmost importance to me personally is the reestablishment of right relations with Israel. The antagonistic approach shown previously must be replaced by an outstretched hand and cooperation between the United States and Israel. On this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio, I speak with Leslie Ann Stoffel about her work of highlighting the only democracy in the Middle East. Stay tuned.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can find us on our website, soaringeagleradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, Global Star Radio Network, and Red Nation Rising. You can check out all of those websites and directories for our showtimes. My guest today is Leslie Ann Stoffel. She is a pro-Israel, counter-jihad activist and writer. Leslie has been published on various sites, including Times of Israel, Jerusalem Post, and Jihad Watch. Leslie is also the host of Real Clear Israel Radio on Blog Talk Radio. She works in donations and community relations for United with Israel and spends her time between Canada and Israel. You can find her on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Real Clear Israel. And her website is www.therealclearisrael.org. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, Leslie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mike. It's great to talk to you.
Yes, it's... We first started chatting about having you on Soaring Eagle Radio. You told me that you spend a lot of time in Israel every year, and so naturally I'm believing that you've become very acquainted with Israel over the years. And I'm wondering, how did that come about? How did you get started spending time between Canada and Israel?
Well, it's quite interesting, Mike, actually. I was raised in a Zionist home, even though my parents were divorced, but my mom, we weren't religious or anything. She was, in fact, a New Ager. But when I was young, she had a couple of clients who were Jewish, and they told her about Israel and the Jewish people, and told her to read books about Golda Meir and Moshe Dayan and that sort of thing. Yeah. And also, when she was young, she used to go to the movies, and back then, when Israel was being reborn, they would show the movies of the news on the movie screen there,
and
the
yes.
kids would go yeah. to the movie. So, mm-hmm. I guess it sort of piqued her interest then, and she just didn't really know much about it, but it sort of stayed with her. And so, when I was growing up, it was always, well, of course, you know, the land belongs to the Jews, and And that's just how I was brought up. And so I began to have a sort of a drawing of myself towards Israel. And I used to see things on the news and things about the IDF. And I would think, oh my gosh, those people are so brave and strong and everything. And then when I got into my teens, I learned about the Holocaust. Yes. And we still weren't, we still had no, you know, religion in the family at all. But I remember saying to myself, oh my gosh, if anything like that ever happens again, I'll have to say something about it. Of course, in your young mind, you think that if you just say something, it will make a difference, right? Yeah. They'll just stop doing it.
Right, yes.
You know, that doesn't happen. But anyway, so life went on. And it's kind of funny because when I grew older, I started, when I went and got into my 20s, I was living in California, and my friends took me to Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith's church.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So that was really funny. And then, and also Raul Reese's church.
Oh, sure.
Yep. So we used to go, like, drive back and forth to all the Bible studies and stuff. So that's where I learned about the Bible and about Israel. And that's when the love of the Jewish people and Israel was put in my heart. You know, it's something you can't really explain.
Right.
And as the time, as the years went on, you know, I started to see that the news was starting to turn against Israel in a big way.
Yeah.
And even I, this is really strange, but even I, who was a pro-Israel person, I even started getting brainwashed by it. I could sense myself. And I thought, this isn't, you know, this isn't very good. And I kind of left it for a bit. And then as time went on, again, I started listening to Israel National Radio in like 2007, and they were giving such good info about the history and the historical facts about the international law, like San Remo Resolution, and how I found out books to read, like From Time Immemorial by Joan Peters, and just all these really important books. Yeah, and I all myself read Oh Jerusalem. So I started listening to these shows, and I got such a desire to go to Israel. So in 2008, I said to my mom, let's go to Israel. And we found out, actually, that Pastor Chuck was going to be there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How so exciting.
Yeah, so we stalked him. We found his hotel. We found the hotel. It was the Century Plaza there in Jerusalem. We stayed at the same hotel. We went to some of their activities, but mostly we went off on our own and did, you know, did things and took bus tours, and we even went to Egypt for 4 days. But anyway, I fell in love with the place, and because, as you know, there are so many different topographical, like geographical areas there. You've got the desert, you've got the Dead Sea, you've got the lush greenery of the north, you've got, you know, the beautiful beaches in the on the Mediterranean, you've got the, you know, the nightlife and the restaurants and the food. I mean, it just goes on and on. Yeah. I mean, you just fall in love with the place. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And yet it's so tiny, and we were blown away by what they had done in 60 some odd short years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it had been, there were, at the point when they took it, when they were renewing their state in 48, you know, there were no trees, there were, it was all mosquito swamps and stuff, and they had have just created this beautiful oasis. So when I came home, I realized that I was on Facebook, but I'm not a very good at, oh, this is what I had for breakfast today, or talking about myself, or doing stupid things. So I realized I could use Facebook and then Twitter, and then it's gone on, but I could use that for pro-Israel stuff, media stuff, okay? And also started really noticing at that point, of course, the jihad, the global jihad that was going on in the West.
Yes.
And that had actually always been against Israel, because this issue isn't about land. It's the global jihad. You know, it's just another form of it there.
Yeah.
So I started, you know, posting a lot of articles from Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer, and just all over the place, and positive, you know, things about Israel, the good, the bad, and the ugly kind of thing. And then that grew and grew and grew to like thousands of people. So by the time I got back to Israel in 2011, and I stayed with my friends Merv and Merla Watson. I don't know if you know them, but
I do not.
Yeah, but anyway, they started the Christian embassy in Jerusalem back in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they started all that. So anyway, I went to stay with them and help them at their bed and breakfast. And so when I was there, Mendy Safadi, who's the chief of staff for Ayub Kara, who's the member of Knesset, mm-hmm. he invited me to the Knesset to meet them and do all the stuff. So
I started going
to the Knesset. I started going to meetings. I started meeting everybody, like Danny. I met everybody. Danny Danone, so many people. And then I met people in the media, of course, because they'd be at these meetings. So Martin Sherman from the Jerusalem Post, he's been on my show a number of times. And just different people, writers at the Jerusalem Post and this and that. It's just such a small country. I mean, you get to know everybody anyway.
Yeah.
And then Jewish friends would invite me to Shabbat in Hebron. And I went and toured all around Shiloh and pretty soon I'm going to have David Rubin, he was the mayor of Shiloh there. He's got an organization to help kids that have been terror victims, because he and his son were terror victims.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, so it went on and on and on from there. And then being there, meeting all the people, I started working for United with Israel. So we're I guess we're the largest grassroots movement on Facebook and social media. We've got 4 million people on our Facebook page or something.
Well, that's
and
a considerable number.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we do all kinds of stuff. Like our webpage is unitedwithisrael.org. And right now people can buy Purim baskets for the victims, like families of that have lost loved ones to terror, to the jihad. They can plant trees in Israel to replace the ones from the fire. They can purchase all sorts of beautiful jewelry and stuff. So we do lots and lots of stuff, and we also put out news from Israel. So that's how it all kind of got going. And then I started writing. I started doing a radio show. I had to create a web page, because I just was doing so much and I wanted to keep everything in one place. So that's really how it all started. Now, I've been back home for a couple of years because I did have a sweetheart there in Israel, and he got cancer, and I went to stay with him on his last days, in the last month of his life, and he died, and it shook me up so much.
Sure.
That I've actually not been back for 2 years, but I have spent 3 years total there. I am going back in a couple more months now that I'm feeling better. About all that, but it's been quite a journey, I'm telling you.
It sure sounds like it, Leslie. Well, since you've been away for just a little bit, then this will be your first return when you go back soon. This is going to be your first return to Israel since the election of Donald Trump. And
yeah.
As is my hope, I think that President Trump is going to bring a drastic change in the relationship between Israel and the United States. And I'm wondering, have you heard anything from friends there about their reaction to Donald Trump being elected as president?
Yes, actually, I have. I have some friends that are very pro-Trump, and a lot of people actually are. And I even spoke to the man, or I met him on Twitter. I was going to have him on my show, but I just didn't get around to it. He was in charge of the campaign of Trump in Israel. And there are some very positive feelings towards President Trump from Israelis, for sure.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So when you go back, do you have an itinerary, or are you just going to go? I mean, it's been a couple of years. You're going to go back and renew some acquaintances, and I'm sure you're going to get right back into work.
Yeah, well, I will be working, because when I work for United with Israel, I work there and I work here. I do it all over the internet and phoning, Skype phoning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I will be doing that. I will be going to meetings. There's always really interesting things going on there. I've seen Melanie, oh gosh, her name now escapes me. I can't believe this. She writes for the, she's British, and she writes for the, I think it was for the Telegraph.
Oh, okay.
She's a famous writer. She wrote Londonistan.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the last name right now. Anyway, it escapes me. But anyway, there are always interesting people and interesting lectures, and you know, you can even go on archaeology. There's always something. And there's so many friends that I need to connect back with when I go back. And so it's going to be busy. It always is. But it'll be so fulfilling. You live a big life there.
Yes. Melanie Phillips, by the way.
Melanie Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. Because I didn't remember either.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know, or what can you speak to, Leslie, about Bibi, Benjamin Netanyahu? It seems like Israeli politics, there's always something going on. And I try to glean, as do many of my listeners, try to glean what we can from the Jerusalem Post and other online newspapers and media outlets. But I'm wondering if you might have a perspective that you could share with our listeners about Israeli politics and how safe is Benjamin Netanyahu?
Well, this is just my perspective, but I do know that the Israeli, their media is very, very left. And so...
Yes.
I read stories about him with a bit of a grain of salt because they really go after him. It's kind of like they really never give him a break, you know?
Yeah.
And he's been in there for quite a while.
Yes.
How long has it been now? Eight?
Oh, my.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this go round. And this,
yeah, so this go around, right.
Yeah.
So people might, like they did here in Canada, we had a very good guy, Stephen Harper, but people sometimes get strange and they get sick of whoever it is that has been there a long time.
Yes.
So that might happen to him.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't see anybody, it's so difficult because I don't see anybody who seems to have his strength. Now, I know he gets... even close friends of mine who are in the media or just, you know, really into politics, they go after him and say, you know, he caves every time. Like, he's a big talker, but when push comes to shove, he caves in. But then what I've seen of him, he has held this together under all this intense pressure.
Yes, that's right.
So the other hand, I have friends, see, it's always the other hand, the other hand, the other hand. I have very good friends in Israel who are very, very much BB fans.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, even with his faults, he's the best man for the job. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens. You know,
yes.
I personally really like him. Mm-hmm. And I know he has his faults, but I don't know how anybody can live under that kind of pressure.
Right.
Even especially lately when they were going through that knife intifada.
Yes.
And the running over and all that. And he, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I just pray for the guy and I never criticize him in any of my social media ever because, you know, he's got enough problems.
Yes. Yeah. Well.
So I always try to be positive about him. And try to lift him up as well as lift up the Jewish people because the kind of pressure the entire country lives under is unbelievable. It's such a tiny place. And, you know, my sweetie who died, he has three sisters and they've all got kids. And his youngest sister, she said, you know, it's a crazy place. And the little girls, her girls, who are actually – I think they were born in the U.S. because they worked for different. They worked for the embassy
in
different countries. So, but she said, you know, and now when they come back to Israel, she said, you know, this is just a crazy place, and the kids are scared. Like when the knife intifada. So, like down on the ground level where the people are, it's high pressure and high stress to live like that.
Well, I almost, and you can correct me if I'm assuming too much here, Leslie, but, you know, there was a lot of hand-wringing just before President Trump took office. John Kerry seemed to be doing his best to create an international incident, in my opinion. And I have to say, I was very surprised that Mr. Obama didn't pull a 59th minute slap at Israel on his way out the door. So I'm wondering if many Israelis are not breathing a sigh of relief. Now, you can never let your guard down there, and that's the point that you've been making. But with Mr. Trump in office, there has to be a sense of that imminent danger just got ratcheted down a bit.
Well, I think it I really think it did. And also, the man he's appointed as his ambassador to Israel?
Ambassador to Israel.
And I can't remember the guy's name, but he's very much pro Judea and Samaria. You know, Jewish people living in Judea and Samaria, and of course J Street and all those leftist organizations absolutely hate the guy. His name's David something.
David Friedman.
Yeah. And so he is actually, in my opinion, you see, because I'm very pro-Judea and Samaria.
Yeah.
You know, the Jews living in their homeland everywhere.
Yeah.
And so he's very much that way, and I think that's a great, I really do.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, and I would agree with you. Of course, all of the, what did you call them earlier? The regressive what?
Regressive radical leftists.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Unless you're aligned with them, they're going to hate you. Especially when it comes to Israel.
Yes, yeah. It seems to really trigger them.
It does. Well, that might be a good segue. You recently wrote an article. It was posted on a couple of weeks ago, February the 6th, and I'll just read the title, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this article. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau smears all Canadians with Islamophobia lie to create a Sharia state. Now, if that's not a headline that doesn't grab your attention, I don't know what does.
I know. It really got me.
Why don't you walk us through what you were saying there?
I was so incensed when I wrote that because I kept seeing these things on Facebook. Yes, Canada is going to bring in a motion about Islamophobia, blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of ignored it. I thought, well, they can't really do that. And it kept coming by me. And then one day I thought, I need to check this out. And I don't know what happened, but I just searched around on Twitter and Facebook or something. I found out that they were going to be the actual parliament, our parliament, was just going to slide this thing through on a vote, of course, but nobody was talking about it.
Mm.
Like, and it was just going to go through and whatever. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I got to write an article and I got to send it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I did it. I did that one and I thought, I'm going to send it because, see, I had Dr. Sebastian Gorka on my show last August.
Uh-huh.
And so I had his email and, of course, his Twitter. So I thought, I'm going to send it to him and I'm going to send him a personal message to say, look, we need help here. Like, somebody, so, you know, see if President Trump can put sanctions. Like, I don't know what, but somebody has to do something. So I wrote this article and I even wrote that line where it says that he and his minion, this woman, Ikra Khalid, the member of parliament, is putting this through. She's actually a Muslim Brotherhood operative.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Wow.
And she actually bragged about collaborating with Muslim Brotherhood-linked people and this radical group-linked people to Pakistan. Oh, it's just, it's insane. Anyway, so this... I sent it to everybody. It went all over the place, and then other people started picking up on it. Oh my gosh, like what's going on? So the rebels started doing videos. They even had a rally In 2 days, they got about 1,000 people to come to this rally. Like, everybody started talking about it. Now there's people going in groups to see their members of parliament, like Hindus and Sikhs, and they're going in there and they're saying, we don't want our kids learning about Islam, because they're pushing Islam on the kids in school.
Yeah.
And they're going in there. These are not just Caucasian, you know, so-called racist white nationalists. These are Hindu and Sikhs and other people who say, look, don't teach my kid Islam in the school. Like, we don't want any religion in the school. This is not place for that. And so that's going on now. And so it's gotten a huge, like, everybody is discussing this now, which is great. So people contacted their conservative party members, because we have the liberals in, of course.
Yeah.
They call themselves liberals, but they're really regressive radical leftists.
Yes.
And they really are.
Yeah.
And so people contacted their conservatives. So the conservatives came up on February the 15th and said, look, take out Islamophobia and put in all religions, you know, Christians, Jews, Sikhs, Hindus, Buddhists, everybody. And this woman, she refused. She wouldn't do it. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that just shows you where they're at.
Yes.
And so what happened was, on February the 16th, now I don't know what kind of a trick they're doing here, because they didn't vote on this motion on the 16th.
Hmm.
They've put it now into April. So I don't know if we can make a difference by all of us continuing to just get on our high horses about this and say, look, because what they want to do with this is put a motion through to start to investigate Islamophobia all over the place.
Oh my.
And it's like, what is Islamophobia? Anyway, nobody even knows. I mean, it's not even real. We are
right.
Actually afraid, really, of jihadists, you know?
Yes.
I mean...
Right. Yeah, it's just a made-up
word. Islamophobia, it's real.
Right. Right.
And okay... So that's all gone down. Okay, so now at the same time, they found a mosque in Montreal and a mosque in Toronto doing their prayers, the ones that say, let's kill the Jews and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's come out now in the alternate media and everything. And my friend, Mayor Weinstein, mm-hmm. who's the director of the Jewish Defense League here in Canada, he lives in Toronto, and he has gone to the RCMP in Toronto and actually got them to investigate, to put a hate crime on this imam that was preaching this in Toronto. So there's all this craziness going on. I don't know if you heard about this. It's in my article about that mosque shooting that precipitated them to quickly get this motion going, you know, get it through, because they were using that as an excuse that, oh, all Canadians are Islamophobic and we got to, you know, do this. And yet there is so much mystery surrounding that mosque shooting in Quebec, because first of all, it was reported that one of the shooters was a Muslim.
Yeah.
He was kept for 15 hours and then let go.
Right.
And then the other guy is just some young Caucasian guy. And Trudeau has made it so that there's a blackout on the media. So we don't even know what is going on with this. It's just craziness. When we said that they're crazy, they really, really are. And they will lie about everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I'm saying too is, if we're so Islamophobic, why are these so-called fake refugees running in their droves out of the United States into Canada over the border to get in here?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the whole thing is just a big scam. What it is our prime minister is a puppet of George Soros.
Yes.
And this is not even speculation. People can go on YouTube and find these stories. They are photographed together. And if you go on the Rebel .media YouTube page, you can find this, where George Soros, Canada bought into the UN and George Soros' plan of flooding Canada with all these fake refugees to to basically ruin our country, just like Sweden or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if the jig is up, if it's finished, if we can't do anything about it, but we're not going down without a fight.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yep, I agree, Leslie, and that's something that all Western nations are going to have to face sooner or later. Europe has already been, in my opinion, compromised by the globalists. That's what's really going on. When you get right down to it, it's Soros and Rothschilds and Rockefellers and even throw in the Bush clan since George W. has revealed his true stripes recently.
I was shocked. You know, I was shocked today. I shouldn't have been, but honestly, I was, because I realized he kind of he revealed himself.
He did.
In full glory today.
Yes.
What he really is.
Yeah, yeah. It's getting harder and harder as they push harder and harder for open borders, free. It's not immigration; it's invasion. They're pushing civilians and jihadists onto nations such as Canada, the United States. And they're expecting us to lay down and just take it. And the fact of the matter is that there is a critical mass of people that are rising up and saying, no, you are not going to do this. We are going to put a stop to this. And it doesn't matter how many names you call us or how many attempts you make to subvert our laws or pass through and laws, hoping that other people won't catch it, such as the one that you've been describing, Leslie.
Yeah.
People are awake now, aren't they?
Well, they're getting there. It still isn't enough. But, you know, I'm noticing on Twitter there are a lot more Canadians on there now talking about this and saying and knowing that this is what we're facing.
Yeah.
And
that's a good thing.
There was something else. Yeah. Yeah. And so hopefully, Canada is so, our geographical, we're so big geographically, and yet our population is quite small.
Yeah.
We're only about 35 million people, and we're mostly spread out along the border with the U.S.,
yeah,
all from Vancouver here, where I am, all the way across. So, you know, it's not so easy to get together as a band of people to battle this, but I think coming up on March the 4th or something like that, there's people are going to march in different places around the country. So I'm going to find out about that and get involved with that and do more writing and you know, turn their names back on them, turn this back on them. Because that's what I tried to do with this article, was to say, look, he's smearing me.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yes.
How dare he do that to me? I'm not Islamophobic, okay? If there is such a thing, I am not.
Yeah.
And how dare you? And I also turned it around on him as this is a security issue for the U.S. This isn't just, Justin Trudeau, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and getting his selfie and his nice hair and everything. This is a serious issue.
Yes.
And it affects the U.S. and it affects my friends there.
Certainly
because
does.
I am a patriot of Canada and I'm a patriot of the U.S. and I'm a patriot of Israel. I'm a patriot of my, you know, my Western compatriot.
Yeah.
I'm still close to.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Freedom and liberty. I mean, that's what that's what our nations were based on. And it there would be something wrong with a people, Leslie, that do not stand up to this, and I've said this before many times, the hatred that is demonstrated by Islam and its adherents is demonic. There is no question about that. Those who follow Muhammad and the teachings of Muhammad and call for the death of Christians and Jews, that is demonic, and there's no other way to describe it.
Totally. And this is why the Hindus and the Sikhs, too, here in Canada, because we have a large population, they are freaked out by this, too, because their people have been murdered and slaughtered by the Islamic jihadists as well.
Yeah.
And they've had to live under Sharia law. You know what I mean? So they don't want this either. And I just want to bring this up, too, because this is an interesting point that has like come and hit me right across the face like a big old dead fish or something lately. It's like, I was brought up to be a patriot, to love my country, and we've got borders and we've got, you know, these laws and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, I can't help it that I was born with white skin, but all of a sudden, because I happen to be Caucasian with, you know, European heritage, and I am a patriot and I want to continue living by, as Michael Savage would say, culture, you know, borders, language, culture kind of thing from mm-hmm. my country.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I'm an alt-right radical right-winger white nationalist. Like they just do everything to smear
yeah.
decent people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the reason for that, Leslie, is, and of course, being a pastor, this is not going to be a surprise to my listeners. But I think the explanation for that is that it is a strong deception that the Bible talks about will come upon people in the end times. There's no other explanation for how this number of people can buy into such a blatant and obvious lie that we should just open our borders and we should just receive people in and we don't have to check them out and that they mean us no harm. And I mean, that is just insane on the surface of that.
Well, it is. And I've been saying that to people lately. I've been saying, is this the what did you call it? The from the Bible?
Oh, the great deception.
Yeah. I've been saying, is this the great deception that the Bible talks about? Because you cannot get through to these people, and it is, and they, so what they do is they turn reality on its head. And then attack you for just being normal.
Right, right. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Well, you know, Leslie, I'm glad that you mentioned Pastor Chuck Smith and attending the Calvary Chapel there in Costa Mesa and being over in Israel while Chuck was conducting a tour there. And because that reminded me that there are a lot of Christian organizations on the ground in Israel working to bring mercy and grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the, and I wish I should have wrote her name down, but one of your recent shows I was listening to, you were talking to a Christian woman who ministers over in Israel. I should have wrote her name down. But anyway, my point in bringing that up is that I've been hearing from some of my sources that there are a lot of Israelis, or a lot of Jews and Muslims that are coming to faith in Christ. And for me, being a Christian pastor, I think that's wonderful news. Now, I want to encourage our listeners to be praying for Israel and for the peace of Jerusalem. God tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Psalm 122, 6 through 9, and this is what it says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your prosperity. And I add, may the eyes of the Jewish people be open to Yeshua HaMashiach. I appreciate, Leslie, the work that you do, and it's quite remarkable that you've become so invested and ingrained there in Israel. And I know that you're looking forward to going back there in a couple of months, aren't you?
Yeah, I really am. I really, really am. You know, it's interesting you brought up the point. Do you know Avi Lipkin?
I do, and he's been on the show.
Yeah, he's a friend of he's a friend of the family. He's a Jewish man there, and he was here visiting a while back. I think it was in the summer.
When you see him, tell him that Pastor Mike Spaulding said hello.
Oh, I will. Because
yes.
I will see him when I'm in Israel, too.
Oh, good.
If he's not over here when I'm there.
Yes.
But he says, you know what he says, because he teaches on the Islamic invasion of the West. And he loves the Muslim people, as we all do. Okay, the people themselves.
Right.
We're talking about the ideology.
Correct.
Which it was very, very bad, very bad ideas. But he says that the way for the peace with them is that, that they would come to the Lord. And this is a Jewish man yes. saying it, right?
That's right.
So it's quite funny.
Yes, yeah. Amen. Yep, yep. That's one of the things I love about Avi is that he tells it like it is. And my last chat with him was, talking about the geopolitical machinations and everything that was going on over there. So he's a great resource, great guy.
He is. He's yeah. really interesting and really funny, and we have a great time with him.
Yeah, yeah. So any new projects you've got coming up, any new articles you're going to post that we need to alert our listeners
well,
to?
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I've got one working on? I've got to finish it up and kind of fix it up and tie up some loose ends. But I'm going – it occurred to me that this Islamophobia smear is what – is to Trudeau what Basket of Deplorables was to Hillary. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What they do is they divide and conquer with these horrible names.
Yes.
Right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm working on that. And I'm working on that. I'm trying to find out how to tie it all together because this Ikra Khalid woman, this Muslim,
yeah.
she used, I looked it up, the Alinsky rules. She used two rules. For that, what she did, basically, and what he did, freeze the target and just keep on smearing them and turning their own goodwill against them kind of stuff. I forget exactly. But yeah. that's what I'm working on now.
Yes.
And it's my show. My new show actually is on the Exceptional Conservative Network. I was asked to be on with them on SHR Media. It's on Spreaker, and it's called The Real Clear Israel. Just that. And it's on Sunday mornings at 7:05 a.m. Pacific time. So this Sunday, I've got Tommy Robinson from the English Defense League from England because he visited Israel. So he's going to tell us about that Sunday.
Excellent. And what was the network name again?
It's called TECN, so the Exceptional Conservative Network, SHR Media. It's kind of long, but it's on Spreaker, Spreaker.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, it's on there. So they invited me, Ken McClint. Oh, gosh, I'm going to get his last name wrong. I just call him Ken all the time. Anyway, he invited me to come on with them, so that's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. And that's 7:05 yeah. p.m. or a.m.?
7:05 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
A.m.
yeah. Yeah. So if people aren't up that early, they can listen to the podcast later.
Well, yeah. Well, obviously, we will be on the East Coast. Many of us will be congregating in our local fellowships. But those that
yeah.
are just getting up at Central Time and particularly Pacific Standard Time need to check out the show on the Exceptional Conservative Media Network. Leslie will be on there. And is that starting when? Or you've already started?
My first show was last Sunday, and then my second show is this Sunday. So if they just go to Spreaker.com put in The Real Clear Israel. Okay. And so I'm going to have guests, from Israel, from the Knesset, from every walk of life, I'm going to have them on. And so it should be fun. It's only, like your show, it's like 55
yeah.
minutes long or something.
Yeah, perfect.
So, yeah, so that's quite, it's not too hard to handle.
Yeah,
because I do work still for United with Israel, and then I took on an extra part-time job here just to raise extra money for my trip.
Oh, yes.
And, so that's it.
So, UnitedWithIsrael.org.
Yeah, UnitedWithIsrael.org is the organization I work for. And then my website, my personal site, is TheRealClearIsrael.org.
Okay. And folks can go to TheRealClearIsrael.org and keep up with Leslie and her articles and programs. And as she's already mentioned, some of her guests, she has great guests on. So you can tune in there and listen. You can go to UnitedWithIsrael.org if you'd like to find out how you can support Israel. You mentioned early on, Leslie, Purim baskets and even purchasing trees.
Yep, trees, baskets. We do warm clothing for the IDF. We put in bomb shelters, like you name it, we do it.
Yes, very, very good, so. Very good. Well, Leslie, I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and I hope that we can do it again sometime soon.
I'd love that. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, Leslie. God bless you.
God bless.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and of course follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. You can visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.